All right. Welcome, everybody. We may have some more joining us, but for now, Elka, Christine, and Ronique are on the line, and this is Pat Williams for my monthly forum call. There's a lot of discussion around the globe right now on what's being called coaching supervision, and you may have seen a blog I wrote about it a couple months ago. We actually did a call for our students on the whole thing. And I'm just going to say this, and then what we're going to do is talk about what brings cases for what I'm going to call peer consultation. And let me explain why I did that. When I started hearing that mostly from the European Coaches Association and the Australian coaches, in those countries, they use the term supervision much more widely than we do in a lot of professions. In our country, North America particularly, and so that would include Canada too, possibly even South America. I don't hear much about supervision there. When you hear the word supervision in America, given my background as a psychologist, usually you think it's somebody who's being supervised as they start getting cases that need to be monitored by somebody with more experience, right? And then you also hear the term supervision in the workplace when people have supervisors, which means they're like a step above them, either helping them learn their role or supervising them in the performance of their duties and all that sort of thing. And I wrote a piece because I just think if coaching starts requiring, which the ICF is not requiring, but they have been talking about looking at a way where coaches would have to have so much supervision per year, here's where I would draw the line and what today's call is going to be about. I think it's very smart, very wise, and just something that I would have expected most practicing coaches do anyway, is to have other coaches whom you can go to when you have a particularly case that you wonder if you're doing as well as you could, or when you have a case that's bothering you in some way. And I'll talk about some of the reasons why you might seek supervision / peer consultation. But I'm fighting very hard with a bunch of other senior coaches that we not require, that we don't confuse and require supervision and mentoring as something different. A lot of people think mentoring is, for coaching, is basically mentoring you on the quality of your competencies, mentoring you to even build your practice, you know, marketing, things like that. And I think that's true. But I also think a mentor coach or a senior coach or a seasoned coach, however you want to look at it, is a great person you should have on your to-call list whenever you need to run a case by them or something. So as you meet more coaches over time, most practicing coaches I know kind of keep a cadre of friends and colleagues whom they trust or do cases with. And in most of those times, I don't even pay for it. It's just we do it for each other. And I will say, though, when you call it peer consultation or reflective coaching, you're actually being asked to reflect on your coaching and on your cases. And on you as the coach. So those three things, I think, are the big components of what across the globe is being called coaching supervision, and in our country is more called peer consultation. So those three things are a case review, how you're doing in the case review, and you, the coach. So it might be problems or challenges that come up with the case, or it may be something about the client is either challenging you or doesn't feel right. Could be an ethical concern, could be a concern that some other kind of professional help is needed. And then thirdly, it's you, the coach. How are you doing? How are you doing in your life, in your practice? Is your life getting in the way of your effectiveness, et cetera? So we'll keep calling that peer consultation, and in some circles it's called supervision. Let's talk as a group. We had some more people join us. Who else has joined the call since we were talking? If you want to announce yourself. Okay. Well, I heard a couple more beeps. So welcome to the call, and welcome to those of you who are listening to this recording at a later date. For those of you on the call, when you heard my description of supervision site consultation with a senior coach, what things do you think would be smart for you to bring to that person? What kind of things in coaching for you need that kind of self-reflection for you or need you to have it reviewed by somebody? What would be the types of situations or issues that you might use to consult for? All right, let me ask it this way. So number one is cases. Have you ever had, and we'll use case, a client case. Have you ever run a case by somebody maybe in your class or one of our instructors or some other coach you know with a client that you've picked up and you run it by to see if you could do better or if there's some problem? Who's done that?
Hi, Pat. It's Christine. I think the thing that's coming up for me is being, I guess, most helpful and an extension after having gone through all of the coursework at ILCT is a long-term client and how things shift and change over the course of, say, a year, year and a half of coaching. And just making sure that, I'm staying on track, that I'm not adopting any patterns that aren't helpful for this client, just sort of maybe reflecting after a longer term.
Right. So you have had such a client? You've had a few long-term clients for more than a year?
Yes.
Okay. Well, I'm thrilled that you asked the question because I think the number one thing I would say to you in this consult is always ask the client. You know, always check in with a client in a transition from maybe one problem that they brought to another one or one aspiration or goal to another one and say, let's step back and take a barometer look at our coaching. So what's most helpful to you right now and what is what's needed next? Because I had some clients in the early days when I was really full-time coaching for many years. And, oh, my gosh, the chapters of their life changed so much, but we stopped the frequency. It wasn't weekly or it wasn't three times a month. It's moved to maybe just one time a month or a couple times a month. And just as always asking, how is this being helpful to you? How can we make this coaching valuable for what it will be for you? So that's number one, ask the client. Number two, this is where you can use other colleagues, not for a reason to keep the client. I mean, you don't ever want to keep somebody in coaching if they don't want to be there or don't need to be there. But how can you enliven the relationship? Is there something new and different that can be done? Are there different tools that might be useful? Is there a different area of the client's life that can be explored? Maybe they started with business questions or a life transition. And as we say, over the course of time, life happens, right? I had a client whose son died during the years of my coaching her, and other people had, divorces and marriages and illness and moving and lost jobs. And so what else do you think of when you think of a long-term client? What kind of bothersome areas are there for you?
I think the second thing you said really resonated with me about enlivening the coaching. So I feel like we might be in a little bit of a rut.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's exactly what needs to happen. And I have, I've checked in with her every 3 to 6 months. And said, what do you love? What would you like to change? And she just says, no, it's great. But yet I sort of sense that the energy has shifted a little over time.
And whose energy do you think has shifted more, hers or yours?
Oh, great question. What's apparent to me readily is her energy. But I'm guessing that I've matched her as well.
Yeah. I mean, it may be both, but if I were your consultant coach on this, I would say, what do you need to make the coaching more enlivening? It may be good for her, but it's not good for you.
Yeah.
You know, and I think we do get a little routinized, or we get, which is where I think the word rut comes from. I'm making that up, but it's probably short for routine, something that gets routine. I oftentimes will find myself looking for, you know, not some new shiny package coaching technique that somebody's selling, or the next greatest assessment, although sometimes those are useful. Like, hey, I learned how to do emotional intelligence testing. I think this could be helpful for you. What do you think? But I will look for some new ways that other coaches handle their coaching. And that's just for me. I did the same thing as a psychologist. I said, oh, man, it's time to learn a new way to be, a new way to ask questions, a new way to evoke thinking. So I would say to you, what do you need, or what could you learn? You know, where could you learn it? Something new and refreshing that you could bring to your clients just as a new offering. Could be something from a book that's out. It could be a strategy that you've heard about, because we're not always just coaching. Sometimes we can offer a tool or a technique or a personal growth strategy to our clients, especially after we've known them for a long time, when the rapport is there. So I'd say this to all of you, and thank you for the question. If you ever find yourself feeling like you've got a coaching client, or maybe your general practice, it just feels like you're a little stuck yourself, that's really when I would get some coaching from a senior coach. I would bring yourself to the coaching and say, I need to do something different. I don't know what it is. And just explore that with a senior coach so that you're actually getting coached on your coaching, but you're getting coached on who you are as the coach, not so much what you do. Does that make sense? I mean, that's a big part of life coaching and all kinds of coaching, is the who of who you are as a coach is what makes it masterful. Not the things you say or what you do, but who you are as you do them, if that makes sense. It's your energy. It's yourself. It's your uniqueness. Does that help with that question?
Yes, thank you very much.
Okay, Christine. Elke, you had one that you thought you might talk about. Remind me what that is, if you're still willing to share that.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And actually, I'm not so sure if it's entirely on topic, but it's actually about choosing a client and whether or not to take this particular client on.
Mm-hmm.
And this is, of course, on the topic of how closely related to, you know, therapy, and at what point, you know, do we decide maybe not to take the client and refer them to therapy topic. But so this person is internationally, and she, we just got back in touch. She's actually an acquaintance. And if I take her on, it would be more of a pro bono kind of practice client for me. And so she had been diagnosed quite a long time ago with a chronic illness, and also has gone recently through a significant separation. However, on that note, she seems to be in very good spirits, ready to move on, but doesn't know what's next. To me, it sounds like she would benefit from the whole from the life coaching process. On the other hand, I'm wondering if there's just too many, you know, kind of heavy issues surrounding her right now. So just wanted to check in on that. Kind of where's that line, so to speak?
Yeah, so let me speak to the whole thing generally first. I think it's a great question, and the general question is, how do you know, especially if you're a relatively new coach and you're willing to take anybody who comes to your practice and you get better, right? Because that's how we get better, from our clients, not from our classes. We get better doing coaching. And there are times when you might take on a client that you probably think, oh, I wish I'd never said yes to them. Because when you interview a client, the reason that I suggest you always do sample sessions, do a 20-minute sample session with somebody, is you're not only seeing if they want you as a coach, you're seeing if you want them as a client. A person may say, oh, this sounds great. I really think coaching would help me. And I can say, well, that's really great. However, I got to tell you, the more I hear your story, I don't think I'm the right coach for you. And I'm going to give you two or three other names for you to call, because it's always smart to interview three or four coaches and then pick the one that's the best fit. So you just tell the truth, you know. The other part of that question is, if I heard it right, this person is an acquaintance, and they're, I didn't hear the whole story. They just got back from somewhere. It got, your voice trailed off.
Actually, she lives in
She lives internationally.
She lives in Europe, and she's an acquaintance, and I'm saying acquaintance and not friend because I hadn't spoken to her or seen her in 16 years.
Right.
So I really didn't know what has been going on with her life, but she found out I now, you know, started this new business, and, you know, I'll be doing life coaching and offering that. And so I heard quite a bit of her story, and so I wasn't really sure as to whether or not it would be too heavy, even though she seems to be almost a little bit relieved with the separation. So she's in reasonably good spirits. She doesn't know where to go from here. Because she has this chronic illness going on. Yep.
Well, I think she certainly could be coachable, but I think some of the questions you're asking, and this is for all of you to hear, is you may say to a client, you know, let's give it a try, and we'll go a month or two and see how it's working. And my promise to you is to make sure that you're getting what can be the most helpful to you. So it's not that you can't coach somebody and transition from, separation and a chronic illness and all that, but you kind of have this coaching agreement that it always can be revisited. We can always take a look and say, you know, we've been coaching now for 4 weeks or 8 weeks or 12 weeks. What's been helpful to you, and do you think it's time or a different kind of coach? I mean, it could be any of those kinds of questions. If you're feeling that it's going somewhere other than coaching, like it's starting to be more counseling or emotional, it's not that emotions are bad in coaching, but if it seems to be that's the focus, that it's more of a safe place for somebody to get in touch with emotions more than just go through them, is the best way I could say it, is you need to have a frank discussion with your client. And for that, that's when I think coaching, supervision, / consulting is good. That's when you can run it by a senior coach that you know, so that you know how to say what you want to say. And, you know, have it land in a way that will be respectful to the client. I think in a nutshell, whenever you have some concerns about a client, yes, you can get consultation, and that's always smart, but even if you consulted with yourself and said, what is it I really want to say, or what is it I'm really concerned about, practice finding a way to say that conversationally with the client. Say, I got something I want to talk about, and I'm not sure where I'm going to go with it, but I just want us to take a few minutes to talk about the coaching relationship, not so much the topics or the goals, but that's when you say, what's working best for you? What would be even better for you? What's missing in the coach? You're not talking about, are you a good coach or a bad coach? You're talking about the coaching, if that makes sense. So what do the rest of you think about that? You're going to, if you get a client with, they're not just like doing a transition in a job or opening a new business or wondering what to do with the lottery money they just won. I wish, yeah. How do the rest of you handle things like that when you've got some concerns of your own? Okay, well, if anybody wants to say anything, just say your name and we'll let you get in here. Okay, what else what else, as I responded to that situation, what else do you need? What was unclear? What else is needed there?
No, I think that was clear, because I'm thinking through it as I'm hearing you speak and as I'm talking through it. I'm
yeah.
just then also wondering, because I haven't had a client abroad, I'm wondering, and this is a very kind of practical, logistical question,
right.
is when we work with clients overseas, is
uh-huh.
Do we go by the rules and the regulations of the U.S., because we're here, even though they're over there, or do we have to take into consideration kind of their, and I'm just thinking in terms of paperwork and my agreement I would be sending over, et cetera.
Yeah,
I'm not sure if you worry about that or not. Or
yeah, that's really the reason that I have fought hard not to coach and become a licensed profession, because
mm-hmm.
it's not that I don't want regulations and ethics. We have that. But if a coach is not a member of the ICF or the European Mentoring Coaching Council or the Association for Coaching out of Europe, there's nothing anybody can do. However, keep this in mind. Consultants aren't licensed either. And there's thousands and millions of consultants. So the regulation of a profession is best if a good coach will be somebody who's a member of the ICF or something like that, or if you're in the school taking classes, ILCT, then you're with a credible organization and you're moving along the path to certification, you follow those ethics. So because it's not licensable, you don't have to worry about the rules and regulations in that country as long as you follow the ethical guidelines that if you're a board-certified coach that there is, if you're a ICF-certified coach that there is. Because really coaching is coaching. I've had plenty of international clients. And as long as I'm not giving professional advice, I mean, I'm not a lawyer, I'm not a therapist, I'm not an accountant, and all that's in my agreement, there's no need for anything other than an agreed upon, than a signed agreement that your client understands how you work as a coach and how you get paid and all that sort of thing. So, no, you don't have to worry about all the paperwork and regulations. However, that being said, this kind of crosses over into ethics and also why some people might need supervision. If you get into clients who are sent to you from a company, like maybe the company is paying for it, like Boeing might be paying you to coach some high executive or team leader or something.
Mm-hmm.
I wrote a chapter, actually one of my authors in a book I edited on the law and ethics of coaching wrote about this. One of the biggest muddy water situations you can get into in corporate coaching is triangulation, which means if I have a government agency who's and I get a lot up from a certain government agency, they're paying the bill and they want this manager coached for certain improvement in the workplace, that's fine, but I can still coach the person on anything else. And the only report they get is the progress on the goals that they wanted to see with the approval of the client. So if a manager calls me, I'm going to say, hey, how's it going with Jack? You know, I want to know how the coaching is going. I can't say that unless the client has given me written permission. So that's the one area you want to be careful of. If the client's self-paying you, then the agreement's between you and them. If the company is paying you, then you need to have an agreement that understands that the client is who you coach, but the company is who's paying the bill.
Okay.
And some guidelines you can find out about that too. But that was a good question, and I probably gave more answers than you wanted.
No. There's never enough answers. So maybe also a good thing to put in agreement then is that maybe some type of short statement that the client can read and understand English, or you know that they understood the agreement, just because you're dealing with different countries, different languages.
Actually I think on the bottom of the agreement that ILCT recommends, there is the final statement that I agree and understand blah blah blah, but you might say that your coaching will be done in English, and you raise a good point. You might want to say to the client, if there's ever anything I say that doesn't interpret easily or it sounded not like what I meant, please say something. Because my intent is never to use a wrong word or a wrong phrase. There's, you know, there's lots of idioms in different languages.
Yeah.
I mean, I remember one time in Switzerland, the first time I ever went to Europe, I knew enough French to get me in trouble. And one time at dinner, I was using my French, and the waiter knew English and French, so he was seeing how well I was doing. And we got done at the end of the meal, and he came over, and I couldn't remember the words l'addition, s'il vous plaît, which means the addition, the check. So I just said, je suis fini. Well, I am finished, right? And what that means in French is I'm going to kill myself. je suis fini. I am finished. And then he laughed and goes, no, that means you're going to kill yourself. And so then I said, okay, let me try. And then I said, okay, je suis complet, which I'm complete. No, that means you're pregnant. So finally I said, the check, please.
So, there you go.
You know, you have to be aware and tell your clients that if you ever say anything that they don't understand, or don't be embarrassed if English is their second language, to ask, what did you mean when you said, you know, blah, 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 blah. That's a good point. So you could add that. You could add that as a special part of a agreement if you get a client with another country whose English is second language. That's very smart.
Okay.
You know, a lot of this, I'll say this to everybody, the thing with ethics and the thing with supervision issues is we want you to use your critical thinking. Is there something in your gut that's feeling weird about what's happening? If that's the case, you need to discuss the case with somebody, because trust your intuition. You know, you may think there's something going on mentally with the person, or maybe they wrote you a cryptic email and you didn't know what it meant, or you just don't like the person. that's when you need to discuss it with someone else and just get a different point of view. That's what's great about consultation. Now, there's another thing that's not talked about much in coaching, but I think being a psychologist, I wrote about this a few years ago when I felt the coaching profession had grown up enough to know the difference between coaching and psychotherapy. However, there's still something that came from psychotherapy back in the days of Freud and beyond called transference and countertransference. And all that really means is that there might be some emotional or psychological energy between the coach and the client that could get in the way. The old therapeutic use of transference was when your patient falls in love with you or they start idolizing you as a mother figure or father figure. Now, that's when an analyst would do, you know, 7 years of 4 days a week with a patient. That was traditional Freudian analysis, right? We're not talking about that. But there can be an attraction that occurs. There may be some sort of instant energy that, I mean, you love working with this client and you get off talking about vacations and all that kind of stuff. That's when you need to be careful. If the client seems to be overusing the relationship with you, you might want to get some consultation. And, of course, if anybody ever finds themselves attracted to their client, that's, you know, that's a no-no in all professions, but don't keep it a secret from yourself. Get some consultation, do some reading, do some thinking about that. And if something's really in the way, terminate and refer them to another person. Just say that it's just not working between us in some way. I mean, you'll figure out the language. I don't mean to be so blunt, but that's what transference, countertransference is in technical terms. So I talked about that. I talked about case consultation, being able to, excuse me, to bring cases to the supervisor. Triangulation, which mostly happens either with a workplace referral or if you ever do something like family coaching or relationship coaching where you have more than one client. Could be something, a poor fit. You know, it's just not a, it's not a poor fit. You didn't, you didn't have a niche yet, and you took on this client because you said, oh, I need to practice, or I need money, or I need the experience, and it's just, it's a poor fit. That's when you need to get some consultation to see if there's a way you can shift your coaching, or come to a decision to recommend that the client see somebody different for all the right reasons. And then lastly, coaching about your life. How are you doing as a coach? How's your energy? Is there something in your life that's getting in the way? Are you over-promising and under-delivering? Are you being pulled in two different directions with something else? So you're not really available fully for your clients. Can anybody think of anything else that they would bring to, like if I were your consultant coach, your supervisor, and remember, I don't like that term, but I'm putting it in the context of a peer consultation. What kind of things would you love to discuss with a senior experienced coach? Nothing.
Pat, it's Christine again.
Yes.
I do have, I think around the area of accountability, again, this with a, you know, longer than, say, 3 months of coaching someone.
Uh-huh.
To where's the line, and I mean, this is what I'm trying to find for myself, of sort of helping the client, you know, sort of keeping a bigger picture of, okay, here are all the things you said you wanted to work on. Where
mm-hmm.
are you with that?
Mm-hmm.
And or just letting the client, you know, week by week decide what they want to talk about and whether they want to be held accountable. I don't know if that makes sense. But.
Yeah, it does. And I would say that it is very important for your role. You remember in the classes we taught, the client creates the agenda, but what the coach does is hold the agenda for the client. We are the keeper of their goals, both long-term and short-term. So it really is masterful coaching for you to remind the client, do some sort of check-in session. Like every 3 months in the old days, I still should do this. I just forgot it. It would energize my coaching. It's bring out the wheel of life again or bring out the energy drainers list and say, let's just do kind of a checkup, kind of a coaching checkup, and have them rescore that or re-answer the questions to find out what's up for them now. And then the other part is just what you said. If you go back and look at the first goals you filled out in the welcome packet or in the first couple of sessions we had, this is what you had. Are we still on track or have your goals changed? So you're not making the client wrong. Say, wait a minute, this is what you said you wanted to work on, and now we're talking about this. You're trying to help them either reflect on what did they originally have as a goal, and if it's changed, let's be clear about it. What's changed? Because, you know, life does happen. Nah, it's not my goal anymore. I thought I was going to go to school and become a lawyer, but nah, not doing that. Does that make sense?
It does, yeah. And I think my I like the idea of just of scheduling that, because I don't want to pull the client off an agenda that they might bring to
right.
a call if I want to, you know,
right.
check in with goals. So just establishing mm-hmm. that, I think, is a great idea.
Yeah, well, here's even a good idea to piggyback onto that. I think it's great client service when you have clients who have paid you a monthly retainer and you've coached them for months or something. Usually, I don't know how most of you work this, but usually you don't coach every week and you give yourself some time off. So most coaches do 3 sessions a month or 2 long sessions a month. 1 session a month isn't good because the energy just wanes. So the typical scenario is to coach somebody 3 weeks a month. And there are some months that have 5 weeks. So whenever I had a 5th week, rather than have 2 weeks go before the next time we have a scheduled call, I would offer a free call. No charge. We're going to do a check-in, a checkup. We're going to do a take-the-temperature call. And it can be about anything, but what I is assess where we are in the coaching process, where we're going. And so it'll be less coaching and more more reassessing and clarifying. We have to do Build Life again, Energy Drainers again, a simple little request that they list their three long-term goals and then what are some steps in that process. Because they may say, you know, I kind of got away from that. I mean, we got, what's the word somebody says? We got stuck in the weeds, you know. We're working on the weeds that are coming up in my life instead of looking at what's beyond the horizon of the weeds. That's the picture that comes to mind for me. So I do that as a freebie. That's a good idea for your practice. And if you start developing a lot of clients, you can make maybe the fifth Friday of the month, Friday morning, a free group call with, you know, whatever your name is. I mean, I could say a free group call. All my clients, we have a free group call this Friday morning at 9 o'clock. Anybody can call in. And they can all be on the phone. We can arrange a bridge line. That's free. That's an added service that will make your clients happy and will make it more likely that they'll refer other clients to you down the line. So, again, a lot more answer than you asked for, but that's what...
I love both of those ideas. Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. Anybody else, if we've talked here, remember the things you would bring to a coach consult, coach supervisor. What do you have on your plate? Or what most concerns you about any cases you have or you've heard about or coaching that you've done that you would discuss? All right, nothing more for today? Let me refer you all, just for your reading pleasure, if you would Google International Coach Federation Coaching Supervision, and you'll go right to their website with what they've written about supervision, just so you know how they're defining it worldwide, not just the United States. But so if you just do ICF Coaching Supervision, I'm sure a link will come up that takes you right to their webpage. And there actually is an ongoing blog about it, too. There was a time when the ICF said they were going to start requiring that within the next 3 years, but then they walked that back and said, no, they never said they were going to require it. They said they were looking into whether it should be a requirement. That's actually not the way I heard it from the president. But needless to say, there's been a lot of strong voices from the U.S. and parts of Europe who said, no, we don't want to go supervision because it starts sounding like psychotherapy. However, we would be comfortable with calling it peer consultation or, coach consultation. It's the same service. But I'll just tell you guys, in my opinion, way back, 2004, there was a case in Colorado that they tried to have the coach be sued by the state for practicing therapy without a license, and this person was not a therapist. It was a very important case. ICF, with the help of some of us Colorado coaches, raised enough money to hire a lobbyist, a lawyer, a mediator, actually, and we got the case thrown out of court that it wasn't psychotherapy. And that's less likely these days. There's less and less talk about coaching is psychotherapy, and psychotherapists actually do a lot of coaching, and they tell patients that sometimes we don't have to bill your insurance, we'll just call it coaching. But I will tell you this, that there's an important thing to always get supervision/consultation. If there's anything concerning you about something your client said, or the way you're feeling about where it's going, just to make sure you've got your T's crossed and your I's dotted. However, this is where I was going to go with this. If we use the term supervision in this country, lawyers say that automatically starts moving coaching to a licensable profession. And we don't want that because the word supervision is just the way it's looked at. You know, medical field has supervisors. Lawyers, when they're going for their bar, have supervisors. Psychotherapists have supervisors. But I don't think coaching needs approved supervisors that have taken training to be a supervisor, because then I say, who supervises the supervisors? Yeah, it gets a little crazy. So as long as you know that it's your ethical responsibility and professional responsibility to seek consultation when you can, most of the time you're going to get a senior colleague or a more experienced colleague that will just do that for free. If you need ongoing consultation, then it's just like hiring a coach. You hire a coach who can also consult with you about your cases, about your coaching energy, et cetera, and you'll be better for it. So any final comments anybody wants to make? All right. Well, I hope this was helpful to those of you on the call and those of you listening. In a future call, we're probably going to look for somebody who wants to bring a case or who wants to be coached. We'll do coaching demonstrations. I've got a call coming up in June or July where we're going to talk about the magic of using metaphors. I've taught a special class on that, but not everybody took the class, so we'll talk about that. And if there's anything else you'd like for me to do on a forum, or something, somebody you want me to interview or something, please write me and let me know. I'd like to get ideas from our students and get them booked many months out. So you can sure do that. Thank you all for your attention, and I hope this was helpful. And keep in touch if there's something you want to run by me. Okay?
Thank you.
All right.
Thank you.
Take a great day.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye.